Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. My name is Jack Reeve. I'm joined in the studio with my colleagues Dan Childs and Liam Flynn. Good to have the boys here. And on the phone line from Paddy Power, we've got Emmett O'Keefe. Welcome back. It's international break. We've got some league fixtures to talk about as well. We'll get on to them at the end. But, gents, let's start with the international break and England, the call-up. Dan, any surprises? Ali, Lingard, Walker dropped?
No, not really. I think Southgate is pretty uncomplicated with the way he does it. He likes to give young players a chance, and he also favours players that are in form. So Tomori has come in, done well for Chelsea, so he gets his call-up. Mason Mount in there as well. I think fully deserves it. You could even argue, he's not far off deserving a starting place for England. He's playing that well. And the ones that have missed out, I mean, Jesse Lingard's not playing regular for Manchester United. Had his injury problems. Dele Alli, similarly, really, at Spurs. He's had a few injury problems and he's nowhere near his best at the moment. So, I think it's a reasonable selection.
Liam, where are your excitement levels at the moment for this international break? Are you buzzing for the upcoming games?
I'd like to say otherwise. It's quite average. I think with England at least, the beauty of it is there are so many players in that squad who are keen to get on the pitch and prove themselves and fight for a place in the Euro 2020 squad, that I think we're probably unlikely to see a drop in intensity as the qualification campaign moves on, even though that qualification is pretty much in the bag. And that's quite unusual because normally you get to the last few games and performances would drop. You'd look at maybe even opposing them. But because there are so many players from Gareth Southgate to choose from, you'd expect some of these players to really take every chance they get by the scruff of the neck. I mean, you look at some of the call-ups this time around. I mean, Dan touched upon them. I think given the defensive or individual defensive blunders in the Kosovo game, it was needed for someone like Fikayo Tomori to come in.
He had a great start to the season.
Absolutely, yeah. And his Chelsea teammate as well, Tammy Abraham, it would have been wrong to overlook the Premier League's top English goal scorer this season. So, bringing those two into the fold is exciting. I was excited to maybe see James Maddison involved, but obviously now withdrawn through illness. I think he's, England have always sort of lacked creativity over the years, and he's one of those players who can unlock the door. And we were only saying yesterday about how we'd like to see England set up, and I'd love to see him sort of that number 10 role behind Kane with maybe Sancho and Sterling either side of him. So, yeah, I think the one excitement factor, the games might not be particularly interesting from an England perspective, but at least we've got these players that we can keep an eye on coming through the ranks as qualification wears on.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the players Liam mentioned there, Dan, it's not like they've just been called up for the sake of it. They've had good starts of the season, and this is an exciting time for England fans.
Yeah, I mean, Maddison has been mentioned there, has been linked with some big clubs for quite a while now, and you could see him being part of a really exciting attacking quartet there for England. I think the worry for England further down the line is trying to sort that defence out. I mean, whether the maybe a bit of complacency in that Kosovo game, but I don't know. You look at the we talk about strength in depth. The one area where I'd say there could be a lack of that is in central defence. I think not a lot of pressure being put on Harry Maguire and Michael Keane at the moment there at the back.
Emmett, how are you feeling, mate, about this whole international break? Looking forward to it?
Yeah, I think for the first time probably in a few years now, Ireland fans are fairly excited especially about the upcoming qualifiers, and potentially for the first time in years, we have a couple of exciting prospects coming through with Connolly at Brighton playing brilliantly against Spurs last week. And also down the line, Troy Parrott started recently for Tottenham in the League Cup, and he looks a hugely exciting player as well. So I think international breaks are generally not that exciting, but I think for Ireland fans, this is probably as excited as we've been in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it there with England. There's a lot of exciting young talent. I've got the name written down, Aaron Connolly. I know you've just mentioned him there. Are there any other kind of players to really keep an eye on this break?
Probably John Egan at Sheffield United has been pretty good at club level, and obviously Richard Keogh had a regrettable off-field incident, so he's no longer part of the squad. So I think probably just seeing how he goes, I'm expecting him to go fairly well. I think he'll probably actually be somewhat of an improvement from Keogh, so I don't think there's much of an issue there. but not like the Connolly and Parrott would be our two kind of main young prospects, I would say.
Brilliant. Sounds good, mate. Yeah, probably the less said about Richard Keogh, the better. Let's move swiftly on to the Euro 2020 fixtures coming up. Let's start with Netherlands versus Northern Ireland. That's played tonight. So if you're listening to this on Friday, apologies, you've already missed it. Emmett, what are the odds looking like on this?
So Netherlands 1-7, draw 6-1, Northern Ireland 14-1.
Dan, where can we find value here?
I'm going to go pretty straight bat here and go. I've got, I think, a couple of correct score pokes. 2-0 Holland and 3-0 Holland. I just don't see Northern Ireland scoring here. They did play quite an enterprising style actually against at home to Germany. At press Germany, looked good in the first half, created a few chances, but then the Germany sort of wore them down in the end. Were much stronger in the second half, 1-2-0. I just think away from home, I'm not so sure they're going to be as adventurous. I think it'll be a cautious tactics from Northern Ireland. I think they'll sit, look to try and counter on Holland and maybe try and focus on set pieces. That set piece threat, though, when you look at the Dutch defence, you've got Virgil van Dijk, Matthijs de Ligt at the back there. I mean, they're both strong players, superb in the air. I just can't see where a Northern Ireland goal is going to come from. The Dutch, you just think it's a matter of time before they're going to break Northern Ireland down. I mean, they may have to be a little bit patient. I mean, when they won 4-2 away to Germany, it was their counter-attacking that took the eye. A lot of pace in that Dutch side. So a little bit of patience to be needed, but I think they'll get the job done in the end.
Yeah, Liam, Northern Ireland without Jamal Lewis as well, which will obviously be a shame. Can you see an upset here, or is it?
No, very similar approach to Dan, actually, in terms of the betting. I'll go Netherlands to win in under 3.5 goals, a shade of odds on. Northern Ireland, they were handed a very nice start. You know, you can look at it one of two ways, but they opened with back-to-back games against Estonia and Belarus, home and away, and won 4 out of 4. But then, obviously, on the flip side of that, they now got to play, or they played Germany and the Netherlands in the remaining games. They lost to Germany, and I think there's also a big gulf in quality, obviously, between them and the Netherlands. As Dan touched on, the Netherlands, they've got, you know, the Dutch have got great physicality at the back in Van Dijk and De Ligt. De Ligt hasn't adjusted too well to life at Juventus at the moment, but I think this international break comes at quite a nice time for him. And, you know, who better to, you know, play alongside than Virgil van Dijk when you're trying to restore some confidence at the back. And Northern, I think even with the aerial threat that Northern Ireland might carry from set pieces, I think that's probably their best hope of getting on the score sheet. So I think it would be a narrow Netherlands win. Michael O'Neill's men, they make themselves tough to beat. And they only lost 2-0 to Germany, who you kind of have to look at. They have a far better range of attacking options than the Dutch. That's probably the weak point in this Netherlands team is going forwards. They've got a lot of pace on the flanks, but they don't have that sort of real out-and-out centre-forward who's going to bully the defence. So I think it'll be quite a low-scoring game, and I'd go for a Netherlands win.
Emmett, are you the same as the boys, or are you expecting something different here?
No, I same as the lads, although I would have a lot of respect for the way Michael O'Neill really maxes out Northern Ireland's ability. As Dan mentioned, they were extremely impressive against Germany, the way they pressed high up the pitch off every Germany backwards pass. And like they forced mistakes from Germany, and if Conor Washington had finished better, the result, they could possibly have got a draw, or at least the game could have been tighter. But I think Washington's actually out with a hamstring injury, and Jamal Lewis is out. And even at the start of this, I know it's a couple of months ago, but Oliver Norwood, the Sheffield United midfielder, retiring from international football was a huge blow for them. They don't really have a great depth of talent, so they would have needed him in a game like this. The route I'd go here would be Memphis Depay, first goal scorer, each way at around 3-1. He's four goals in four qualifiers in this campaign, and he's 15 in his last 25 for Holland, and he generally really ups his game for them, so that's the way I'd look.
Good stuff. Yeah, injuries not being kind to Northern Ireland at the moment. Let's go on to the next game then. Group E, this kicks off at 7:45 as well. It's Slovakia against Wales. Emmett, how are we shaping up for this?
So Slovakia 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Wales 2-1.
Liam, Wales really excite me. Do they do the same with you?
Yeah, definitely going forward. So for this one, I'd say a Wales draw, no bet, punter evens is probably the way to go. They've been poor on the road. They lost away to Croatia and Hungary. That game they shouldn't have lost. That, you know, was really detrimental to their qualification hopes. But I think now that time is running out to qualify with the players they have at their disposal, they've got that incentive to go there and play positively and play enterprising football. And Ryan Giggs, he's got a strong squad at his disposal. I know Chris Meppham's out and obviously Aaron Ramsey withdrew as well. But he's still got Gareth Bale, Dan James, Harry Wilson, all involved. And I think that they just should have too much in the final third for what is a pretty leaky rearguard for Slovakia. Milan Skriniar, player at Inter Milan, is very highly rated at the back. But beyond that, I think they lack a bit of pace in that back four. They lost 4-0 to Croatia. They conceded in a tight contest with Hungary recently. And Wales, I mean, there's, you know, a little bit has been made about Ramsey not being in the team, and obviously it's a crucial game for them. But they won the reverse fixture and they didn't have Aaron Ramsey available on that occasion either. So I think, yeah, they're worth a look at draw no better around evens.
Emmett, I mean, that front three, front four, whatever you want to call it, is very exciting for Wales, isn't it? I'm sure there's going to be goals.
Absolutely, and as well, it's worth mentioning as well that David Brooks, a long-term absentee, if they got Brooks, Ramsey, Bale, and one of Wilson or James on the pitch together, I think that's a really exciting front four. And as Liam mentioned, I'd be fairly sceptical of Slovakia as well. They're pretty fortunate to beat Hungary, and obviously were beaten well by Croatia. But however, I do think Wales' riches up front aren't matched in defence and in holding midfield. I can see Slovakia scoring here, so I'd look at probably both teams scored around even money, but the way I'd look here.
Emmett, nice one, mate. Aaron Ramsey, is that going to be a big miss for Wales, or can they get through without him, Dan?
Well, I think they're used to playing without him, aren't they? Because he's been missing for a lot of their recent games. I'd go with a draw here. I think it's a very tight group. You know, often in these matches at this stage, you're thinking both teams are going to go all out for the win. But you've got Croatia, Hungary, Slovakia, Wales. It's a game that, because the teams are so closely bunched together, you don't really want to lose it as well. So I think that might feed into to the attitude of both of the teams. Wales, on paper, I think they look better than they're performing. I watched the game at the start of the group at home to Slovakia. They got an early goal through Dan James, and then kind of played on the counter-attack, really rested the game. It was a tight game. They nicked it 1-0 in the end. Then you look at the away games against Hungary and Croatia. And then they played at home to Azerbaizan, needed a late winner, you know, to win that game. That was quite a tight match as well. So they're not really replicating, you know, what you look at the, on paper, looks at quite a star-studded team. They're not showing that in the performances at the moment. I think there's a good chance if they get to the finals, they could be a big danger to some of the bigger teams if they have to kind of work on the right combinations and that quality shines through. But as Emmett said, at the back, they're not as nowhere near as good as they are going forward. They've got injuries at the back as well, with no Meppham, no Jamie Lawrence. So I just think it'll be tight. And although I don't think Slovakia are any great shakes, still got Hamsik there. Mm. He scored a couple of goals when they demolished Azerbaijan. Their results last month were very mixed. I mean, lost against Croatia 4-0 at home and then won 2-0 away to an improving Hungary. So they're hard to assess. So I'd go for a draw here. Tight game.
Good. On to Group I now. Emmett, Russia versus Scotland. This seems fairly one-sided to me. Do the markets reflect that?
Yeah, Russia 2-5, the draw 16-5, and Scotland 13-2.
Liam, I mean, Russia incredibly short there. You can get some value in Scotland, I guess, but it's only value if it wins. Scotland trail the hosts by 9 points. This is going to be a tough fixture for them, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, Russia by themselves may be a bit too short, but Russia and both teams to score at 3-1 makes appeal to me. Scotland have just been dire in their group. I mean, the change of manager hasn't done an awful lot. And I think because of their Nations League exploits, they are guaranteed a playoff place for Euro 2020, I believe. So I think that there's a chance complacency may start to set in. You can even see that through the squad selection. I mean, I think Charlie Mulgrew is the only cap centre-back, in the squad that's been chosen. And I just can't see past a Russia win. I think it might be, like I say, it might be worth backing a win and both teams score at a much bigger price. So I can see Russia maybe establishing a fairly comfortable lead. And then if complacency sets in for them, Scotland could notch a consolation. I think the thing that Scotland have got going for them is they've only got one out-and-out striker named in their squad because of volume at Burnley withdrawing through injury, and that's Lawrence Shankland. And there's been a lot of criticism of the selection. You know, some people have come out and said, you know, it just shows what sort of shape the national team is in, and they're having to call on a second division striker as their only choice. But actually, you know, he's been performing very, very well in that division. He's top scorer in Scottish Championship with 13 goals. That's seven more than the next highest scorer. I think he's clearly above that level.
Yeah.
And I've seen, obviously, I think Stephen Reid came out and said he's been very good in training, and he's a very confident guy and he wants to prove a point. So any time goal scorer bet 15-4 might be another worthy bet in this one, especially as, be very surprised if he didn't start, given he's the only real out-and-out striker in that squad. Johnny Russell maybe, but he's more of a wide player. So, yeah, Russia and both teams to score, but for another bet, maybe Lawrence Shanklin to score at any time.
I like that. Dan, are you thinking similar path here?
No, a little bit different. I think Russia will win, but I think in a low-scoring game. I think this is a game where if you offered both teams a 1-0 Russia win before the start, I'm not so sure they wouldn't take it. I think from Scotland's point of view, they just need a better result. I mean, they lost Scott Stuff, didn't they? 4-0 by Belgium last month, just to raise the confidence levels. And you wonder how seriously they're taking it. I mean, as Liam's mentioned about, they're already into the Nations League playoffs, can't qualify. Well, they can mathematically, but realistically, yeah, they're not going to qualify. They've left Kieran Tierney out, who's back fit again now for Arsenal. So that gives you an idea of how seriously they're taking it. They've overlooked, we talk about the lack of striking resources, but they've overlooked Stephen Fletcher, who's playing well for Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship. I mean, that feeds into it as well. Russia, you'd say that with that Scottish defence, not being the greatest, we mentioned Charlie Mulgrew is the only centre-back there that's been capped in the Scottish squad. But Russia don't score that many goals. I mean, their home games against Cyprus, they won 1-0. They won 1-0 at home to Kazakhstan as well. Are Scotland's defence going to be any worse than Cyprus's or Kazakhstan's? I'm not so sure. And another thing, feeding into the low goals angle, the Russian squad, you've got Artem Dzyuba, the big target man for Russia. He's got 21 goals at international level, but he's the only player for them that's got double figures in their entire squad. So low scoring Russia win for me. So I'll go Russia to win is the bet, and under 3.5 goals at a shade of odds on.
Emmett, I mean, this isn't great listening for Scotland fans, and it's a sad state of affairs that they're going over to Russia, as Dan said, almost hoping for a 1-0 defeat. Can you see any positivity for Scotland here?
I think the positivity would be that I think they have the basis of a decent team. If they've got Kieran Tierney back, Andy Robertson, obviously they play in the same position, but I think you could try and accommodate the both in the same team. John McGinn is a pretty good Premier League player. Ryan Fraser is a good player at Bournemouth. And Scott McTominay, despite United struggling for form, has been, I think, a pretty decent player for them. I think you can build a team around that. John Fleck, who's recently called up, I think has been superb for Sheffield United, especially most recently against Liverpool. Obviously, they're short up front, especially with McBurnie pulling out of the squad. But I kind of feel there's a bit of a hangover from the Gordon Strachan era, when they went very close to qualifying, actually played some reasonably progressive football and qualifying for the World Cup. Then when Alex McLeish took over, the style of football kind of changed and the feel-good factor left the squad and a lot of players started pulling out, etc. So I would expect them to improve under Steve Clarke, but it might take a while. Like Dan said, I think Scotland will struggle for goals, and Russia haven't been that impressive recently, so I'd probably go Russia just an edge to win to nil at 11-10.
Scotland fans, if you disagree with that, please do feel free to let us know in the comments section below. Right, Friday night's game, 7:45 kickoff in Group A. It's Czech Republic against England. Emmett, what's the market looking like for this?
So Czech Republic are 11-2, the draw 16-5, and England are 4-9.
Liam, I'm relatively excited for this, actually. I'm not the biggest fan of international football, but yeah, excited for this. Are you?
Yeah, well, I think there could be goals in it, and that's reflected by the tip I'm going to give England to win and both teams to score. I just can't see England and not conceding. Firstly, Southgate, as we've said, he always prioritises form over reputation. And there's so many players in that squad, you want to prove their worth, prove their that they should be there in that squad next summer. And they are, I think they could be dangerous right until the end of qualification, actually. They've won their first four games, 5-0, 5-1, 4-0, 5-3, and clearly got no issues in the final third. They're, such a distance ahead of the rest of the teams in this qualification group. Player to keep an eye on is obviously Tammy Abraham. I think he will be itching to get the shirt on, but we know that I believe if he does do that, then he can no longer pledge allegiance to Nigeria. So I think, he's one to certainly keep an eye on going forwards. And obviously, you've got Sancho, Sterling, Kane, Wilson, so many great attacking players for England. But defensive concerns do persist. Kosovo were arguably the first team in this whole qualification campaign to actually come at England and have a go. And their reward is 3 goals from 3 shots on target. And I think that the other teams in this group now, They're going to look at this game and think, well, why not? Why don't we give it a go? We're expected to lose. And I think Czech Republic might view it as a bit of a free hit. They might play more on the front foot. And they've got attacking quality. Patrick Schick is a striker who's not had the best of times. He's on loan at Leipzig at the moment. He's maybe struggled for game time recently, but he's still a key component of the Czech Republic national team. And Vladimír Darida is sort of the man who pulls the strings in midfield in behind him. So they've got players who can hurt England potentially on the break. So England to win and both teams to score.
Emmett, say what you like about England, but as Liam mentioned there, they're certainly entertaining to watch, aren't they?
Absolutely. I'm like yourselves, I'm looking forward to this game as well. The Czech Republic are a reasonable team. Their goalkeeper, Thomas Vaclik, I think is how you pronounce it, is a regular at Sevilla. And then they have four players from the Slavia Prague team who have done reasonably well in the Champions League, drawing away at Inter Milan. The Patrick Schick was their big hope a few years ago, but he's moved to RB Leipzig and isn't really starting there, but he's quite a good record at international level. For England, I'd expect probably Mason Mount maybe to come in for Ross Barkley. I do think it's the next kind of step for this England team under Gareth Southgate to see how they can integrate some of the kind of technically gifted attacking midfielders into the team, like Mount, maybe Madison, presumably when he comes back into the squad in the next international break, and maybe Phil Foden if he ever gets some game time at Man City. But I'd agree with Liam here. But I like England to win at both teams to score. I think England could be a shorter price here, and they're a couple of levels above the Czech Republic. But I'd much rather back them both to win and both teams to score rather than -1 to win in both teams to score is around 9-4, and then but them to win -1 is maybe 11-10. I'd much rather take the bigger price there. I wouldn't be a big fan of Michael Keane or Jordan Pickford at the back. I can see this being kind of a 3-1, 4-1 England kind of game.
Sounds good to me. Dan, what is the kind of benefit for Gareth Southgate here, and how does he get value out of these games? Because arguably they're not the most competitive fixtures, but they're important fixtures nonetheless.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, according to the seedings, and Czech Republic are second in the group, playing them away is probably the most competitive match England are going to have in the group. So I'm sure he'll take it very seriously. It's a full house with the tips. I'm going to go England to win and both teams to score as well. I just think, I mentioned that English, the centre of defence with Keane and Maguire not being put under pressure. I'm not sure defensively about the fullbacks for England as well. I know they've got loads and loads of good right backs. So I look at the two in the squad though, Trippier and Trent Alexander-Arnold. I think they're both better going forward than they are defensively. Same with Danny Rose and Chilwell at left back. I think they're better going forward than they are defensively. I just think the Czechs are technically a good side, could exploit this weakness. I fancy them to score. But I'm not so sure that they're going to be able to keep that exciting English attack quiet. I think it'll be a tighter game than has been the case for England in recently. I think maybe a 2-1 England, but England to win and both teams to score looks a bet to me.
Clean sweep of England and both teams to score. We go for a break. We'll see you in a minute.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post. My name is Jack Reeve, joined with Dan Charles, Liam Flynn and Emmett O'Keefe. Right, let's get on to the next game. I'm sure Emmett is dead excited of this one. It's Georgia versus the Republic of Ireland. It's Group D. It's on Saturday. Emmett, we'll come to you, mate. What are the prices and how are you looking at this game?
So we're Georgia 12-5, the draw 2-1 and Republic of Ireland are 5-4. Ireland missing a few players here. David McGoldrick, who's been a huge player in this campaign for us, is out with a hamstring injury. Enda Stevens, also from Sheffield United, is suspended. Richard Keogh is out, as previously mentioned. Shane Duffy may play, but is kind of struggling for fitness. So I do think I think Ireland are probably a little vulnerable here. It's an absolutely vital game for Ireland, and if they could possibly win, it would give them a real chance of qualifying automatically, which would be a pretty good achievement given Switzerland and Denmark would both be definitely more talented squads than us. I think, unfortunately, from a purely value point of view, I think Georgia are worth backing, to be honest. I think Dim McGoldrick is a huge loss for Ireland, and Ireland were fairly fortunate to get a point in Denmark, and even in Dublin against Switzerland controlled most of that game. So I, again, if from a non-patriotic point of view, I think Georgia probably a bet at 12-5. But if you're looking to have a bet on Ireland, if Shane Duffy starts, if you can get 8 or 9 to 1 on him to score any time, I think that's worth the bet. He's a huge threat at set pieces, and he scored some crucial goals for Ireland in the past.
Well, I wasn't expecting you to say that. Liam, do you agree with Emmett?
I was actually going to go for an Ireland win in this one. I just think he's, with so much riding on it, as we say, it is a must-win game for them, really, because they conclude this qualification process with games against Switzerland and Denmark. Under McCarthy, they've been solid and unspectacular, edging Georgia 1-0 at home, winning 2-0 at home and away to Gibraltar. As Emmett touched upon there, obviously Duffy recovering from injury, quite surprisingly, actually, and may be involved. And I think if he does come in, he's, you know, crucial, both at the back and in the other box, like we say, from set pieces. He's worth a look at. You know, goal scoring, but I just think Georgia, they started off being one of these sort of tricky opponents that, you know, teams don't like to go away to, but I think they're starting to be worked out a bit, and, you know, one win in 5 qualifying matches would make me feel more comfortable with backing Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, I was the same as Liam then in terms of wanting to back Republic of Ireland. Are you going to agree with Emmett? And
no, I'm going to go sort of in the middle. I think the prices are about right here, the match prices. I look at, you know, Ireland have got a few players out. I mean, from the Georgian side of things, they got like a wonder kid who went to Ghent called Georgi Chakvatadze. He got 5 goals in 7 games for them, which is a great start to his international career. But he's injured, been injured since the start of the season. So and you look at the rest of the Georgian squad, and Valery Krasashvili, I think he plays in the MLS, doesn't he? He's got 10 goals. He's the only player into double figures in the Georgian squad. So there's not a great deal of attacking threat. Georgia are a team, when you watch them play, they look quite easy on the eye, good technically, but I always think they're struggling in both boxes. They're liable to give goals away, particularly from set pieces, and they haven't got that cutting edge up front. So I think that, you know, Ireland are the likely winners, but the prices say that. I would just, I think the Duffy tip would be, if he's playing, would be a great one, because I think there's a set piece threat. He's great in the air, but because we don't know whether he's going to play or not, I'm going to go for Callum Robinson at 8-1 to score the first goal. He looked at him for Preston last year, got 12 goals in 27 games for Preston. Started this season, he looked lively. He's only got 1 goal in 8 games for Sheffield United, but he's playing regularly. I watched him at Watford. I go regularly to Watford games. He looked lively there as well. He looks like he's playing well at the moment. So I just think at 8-1, he could be one of the main Ireland threats.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. And if you head over to Paddy Power, links will be in the description. Then I believe they've got a Republic of Ireland special on. Right, it's the second set of fixtures. We'll get onto them now. Emmett, it's Scotland versus San Marino. How are we looking for this?
So Scotland 1-80, the draw 30-1, and San Marino 70-1.
Now, Dan, I heard Liam say a moment ago off air that there was a big discussion about Scotland and San Marino in the office. Now, I don't want to guess what this was about, but I'll let you explain.
Just trying to, you know, the long discussion of trying to actually work out a tip for the game, and in the end, I couldn't come up with anything more inspired than 3-0 Scotland. A couple of just quick things. They've lost to 0 San Marino in the last 14 matches, so as ordinary as Scotland are at the moment, they're going to win the game comfortably. Oh, the only player in the San Marino squad that scored a goal for them is defender Mirko Palazzi, who's got 1 goal in 47 internationals. So easy win for Scotland, 3-0 Scotland.
Liam?
Yeah, I'm going to go Scotland to win 4-0. I was going to look at a Shankland first goal scorer, but even that's too short, about 6-4. San Marino have lost by that scoreline last 3 matches against Kazakhstan, Belgium and Cyprus, and they last scored in a 5-1 defeat to Azerbaijan back in 2017. So I'd be amazed if they got on a score sheet. Yeah, Scotland to win 4-0.
Emmett, any inspired tips from you for this game?
Nothing original. I like the lads, probably dodging the 3 or 4-0 scoreline is probably the way to go here. I can't see Scotland really racking up the goals with their striking woes.
Well, none of our expert tipsters can seem to come up with tips, so we'll let you come up with the tips. Let us know in the comments section below. Group E, Wales versus Croatia. Emmett, what the market's looking like for this?
So if Wales 2-1, the draw 2-1, and Croatia 13-10.
Liam, this seems like a tough game for Wales, isn't it?
Yeah, and a tough game to call as well. I think goals is probably the best route. Both teams scoring over 2.5 goals. Croatia have blown hot and cold, really, since the World Cup. They drew with Azerbaijan, lost to Tunisia, but have beaten Spain. So I think given their patchy form, and Wales are a top-heavy side, as we said earlier on, a lot of quality in the final third, but not a lot going on at the back. And Croatia have scored in each of their last 8 games. So both teams score and overs looks a good bet. Worth noting as well, it clicked in the reverse fixture between these sides.
Very good. Dad?
I feel that Croatia are a bit of a fading force at the moment. A lot of their better players are wrong side of 30 now. I'd just maybe take a chance on Wales winning this game at home. I think they'll look to win their home games to get the one of those qualification slots. You look at, I know they won a 4-0 away to Slovakia last month, but they've also to Croatia, but they've also lost 2-1 away to Hungary and drawn 1-1 away to Azerbaijan. So bearing that in mind, take a chance on Wales.
Emmett, what about you?
I definitely agree with the lads there. But I think, like Liam, I'd like both teams to score here. I think, as Dan mentioned, the Croatia are a fading force, really, with Rakitic, Modric, Perisic, Mandzukic, etc., all 30+. But I think Wales can definitely get at them. But again, I wouldn't trust Wales' defence. I could see maybe 1-1, kind of 2-2 here kind of game. So both teams scored evens are above the way I'd look here.
Yeah, definitely a tough one to call that. Emmett, we'll come back to you, mate, for Bulgaria versus England.
So we have Bulgaria 12-1, the draw 9-2, and England 1-6.
Dan, England 1-6, very short, but yeah, about just, right, isn't it?
I would look, I mean, I haven't seen that the exact prices yet, but one way of bumping that up would be England to win an under 3.5 goals. I can see an England win, but not by a lot of goals here. Bulgaria, they don't often, they actually lost 3-2 to Kosovo last time, but before then, they'd gone 8 games at home where they'd not conceded more than one goal. Now, that included a 1-0 defeat at home to France in World Cup qualifying. So, usually, they don't concede lots of goals. So, I'd say England to win and under 3.5 goals.
Liam, where do we find the value here?
England double result. I think one way of getting with England is to back a fast start, either in the form of a first goal scorer bet or, as I say, to have them as a double result bet. Of the 19 goals they've scored in qualifying so far, 13 have come in the first half, 8 in the first half hour. They won the reverse fixture 4-0, shot count 17-4. They're thoroughly dominant, and I think with the rotation, they should be pretty fresh and ready to start on the front foot in Sofia.
Where's your money going here, Emmett?
I know Dan mentioned that Bulgaria do have a very good defensive record at home, but I really, having watched them against England in the reverse fixture, I thought they looked awful. and they've no real players of note. And as the lads have mentioned earlier as well, I think there's a lot of players in England squad who'll be desperate to impress and force their way into the squad. And the guy I can really see taking advantage here would be Tammy Abraham. I could see him getting at least one or two goals here. So I think he's worth a look in the first goal scorer markets when they come out, and then backing the handicaps as well.
So except for an awful defence and no players of note, all is plain sailing for Bulgaria. Tuesday the 15th, then it's Switzerland versus Republic of Ireland. Emmett, what are the odds? And we'll stay with you for your best bet on this.
So Switzerland are 4-7, the draw 13-5, and Ireland are 4-1. Just one thing to mention here is that Ireland are very lucky that Liverpool's Jordan Shaqiri has fallen out with the Switzerland manager Vladimir Petkovic. He was overlooked for the captaincy for Granit Xhaka, another Xhaka captaincy related controversy. Shaqiri's really been a superb performer for Switzerland over the years, and he was outstanding in their run to the Nations League semi-finals. I watched him against Portugal there last summer, and he was really, really good, and he always ups his game for them. And you could really see them miss him when they were kind of short of creativity against Ireland and Dublin. They kind of dominated possession, but they were relying on a goal from Fabian Schär, the Newcastle centre half, and they really struggled to break Ireland down. So I'd look at unders here. I think it'll be a very low scoring game. Ireland will play very, very defensively, and it'll be, I think, maybe 1-0 Switzerland, or possibly even 0-0.
Low-scoring game, Liam, do you agree?
Yes, Switzerland are under 3.5 goals for me. Ireland can handle the likes of Georgia and Gibraltar, but I think this is a different level playing against Switzerland, who of course made the Nations League semi-finals earlier in the year. They've got a strong spine of players who played together in the Bundesliga, Nico Elvedi, Denis Zakaria, Brill Embolo. So I don't think they should have too much problems. Bundesliga is a very physical league, so I don't think they should have too many problems with Ireland's physical game and threat from set pieces. They dominated the reverse fixture in Dublin, one shot count 13-4. That said, McCarthy does always make his sides tough to break down, so I think it could be a low-scoring win.
Dan?
I'd have a pot shot at Switzerland, 1-0 correct score. I wouldn't want to put Switzerland in an Acca or back them at short odds, because I've got a lot of respect for the way Mick McCarthy makes his teams tough to beat. They've already drawn not just the 1-1 at home to Switzerland, they've also drawn away to Denmark as well, Ireland. So that shows you that they can get results on these tough away trips. I think Switzerland will just nick it, but they've not got, as Emmett's mentioned, with Shaqiri out, there isn't a great deal offensive-wise. Seferovic, they're relying on a lot up front. He's got 17 goals in 62 internationals. That's not a fantastic strike rate. So a low scoring Switzerland win.
Well, a lot of love for Mick McCarthy there. We'll go for a quick break and we'll see you in a minute.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's same game multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the same game multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post with me, Jack Reeve. Dan Charles and Liam Flynn join me in the studio and we've got Emmett O'Keefe on the line from Paddy Power. Gents, we've gone through the international break, lots of exciting fixtures, but there's still League One and League Two action to be played. Let's get your best bets from there then, Liam.
Yeah, so my best bet from Football League, Oxford to beat Doncaster. Carl Robertson has made Oxford play very well recently, especially at the Kassam Stadium, where they crushed, obviously, a strong West Ham team 4-0 in the League Cup for a 3-0 win over Gillingham. Doncaster suffered a slight dip in form recently without winning three, and I think they're worth opposing.
Dan, any other fancies throughout the Football League?
Yeah, look, a couple of League Two ones. Bradford, I think, is a nice, solid one of favourites to win away to Morecambe. Bradford are sixth, Morecambe 23rd. Haven't won a game at home this season. Bradford, I think they'd probably be looking at automatic promotion, not just the playoffs. And Morecambe, small squad, stretched even further by Jordan Cranston's ban. He was sent off when they lost 3-1 at Port Vale last weekend. The other, an outsider in League Two, I'd say Forest Green look overpriced to win that top of the table clash away to Exeter. Exeter a second, Forest Green a top. Forest Green not been doing that great on the stats, but the last two games they've looked a lot better. Won 4-0 away to Salford, won 3-1 at home to Crawley, nice and convincing. Exeter, they lost their last home game 3-1 at home to Grimsby. I think if Grimsby can win there, Forest Green can.
Any teams taking your eye throughout the Football League?
Yeah, I like over 2.5 goals in Peterborough v Lincoln. It's clicked all five of Peterborough's home games this season, and Lincoln's defence has got a bit worse since Danny Kelly's departure. Just another game worth looking at in the international games would be Norway v Spain. Mm. Despite winning 6 from 6, I think Spain are a team in decline. The last of their kind of golden generation who won those European Championships and World Cups are all in their 30s. So much so that only 4 players from Real Madrid, Barcelona and Atletico Madrid were in Spain's national team squad, which is unheard of years ago. And Norway are actually much improved from previous campaigns. They have a huge threat up front with Erling Haaland from Salzburg, who's obviously been much talked about lately, and then Josh King from Bournemouth as well. I think Norway double chance at 13-8 worth the bet, and both teams to score at evens also worth the bet. Norway's defence can be a bit leaky as well.
Time for my favourite bit of the show. Let's get on to the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Here we go then. Naps of the week. Emmett, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I look at Bristol Rovers here. It's more negative against MK Dons than it is pro Bristol Rovers. MK Dons are conceding an alarming amount of shots per game. They're 22nd in the league in terms of shots conceded, only Bolton behind them, and they're conceding 2.7 shots more than the team in 21st, which is a huge amount. And those stats are kind of starting to reflect in MK Dons' league form. They've lost their last 4. And they were destroyed by mid-table teams by mid-table Burton in their last game, beaten 3-0 and outshot 21-9. I think on the form and numbers, I think Bristol Rovers should be shorter than their current prices, were at 11-10 evens.
Sounds very convincing to me, Emmett. Dan, what about you?
Yeah, another League One tip. I'm going to go for Accrington away to Rochdale. They're both lower part of the table. Accrington 18th, Rochdale 19th. But Accrington are playing a lot better in recent weeks. They're unbeaten in 4 games. That includes a 2-2 draw at home to Oxford last week. I mean, Liam mentioned he likes the look of Oxford. So do I. The fact that Accrington have drawn that game 2-2, and apparently it was an evenly contested game, that shows that they're improving. They've got Colby Bishop up front, who's been scoring a few goals. Ofrand Zanzala's, he was injured. He's returned to fitness last couple of weeks. He's got a bit of pace about him and he's a goal threat as well. Rochdale, they're really on a terrible run at the moment and they're injury ravaged. They lost 3-2 away to Wimbledon, who had a terrible start to the season last weekend. And they're one player even worse off this weekend because their left back, Reece Norrington Davis, who played virtually every week for them, he's with the Wales under 21. So Accrington to win at Rochdale.
Liam, let's finish off the treble.
Yeah. Quite simply, Portsmouth to win at Fratton Park against Gillingham. Gillingham haven't won away this season. Portsmouth look like they may have turned a corner recently, wins over Bolton and Doncaster. And with players like John Marcus and Brett Pittman up front, only a matter of time before they'll start stringing more results together. Yeah, so Portsmouth to win for me.
Make sure to head over to Paddy Power for that enhanced treble. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Football Postcast this week. Thanks to Liam, thanks to Dan, and thanks to Emmett on the phone line. And we'll see you next week for another Football Postcast. Bye-bye.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.